Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another edition of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dottiglia along with the legendary Herb Tyler. He told me he'd give me a dollar every time I say that legendary. So I got $1 already, and we work on maybe getting two or three before it's over with.
That's right.
We'll be here until 4:45 this afternoon, and we want to thank Map Construction, our presenting sponsor here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Herb and I are at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got a great crowd here already. Had a super lunch crowd. Oh, yeah. Luke and I trying to get in. Man, they had a lot of folks that came in here, and so it repacked back again. So great food specials, drink specials here. If you want to watch the games, 16 surround sound TVs, and so you can watch the game. Also, if you're going to the football game, relax, get something to eat and drink, and also maybe watch the end of a couple games that we are watching so far. And Herb, and Tulane, South Florida, as they played competitive with Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
They were down 7-6 at the end of the third quarter. Now, Alabama scored 28 points in the fourth quarter. Man, Tulane took it to them, 45-10 today. So congratulations to John Sumrall and the Tulane Green Wave with a big win, 45-10. That point spread opened at 6, went all the way down to 4. And Tulane won 45-10.
Wow.
Today.
Talk about covering,
and,
huh?
And the first half, they had 31 points on the board and quick. Basically, every time they touched the football, they were putting points on the board. So, again, great all-around effort for the Green Wave. And then something, man, sometimes you peeking ahead of time.
That's right.
And Kentucky Ole Miss. And Ole Miss may have peaked a little bit ahead of time, so to speak, looking ahead to what's coming up in 2 weeks.
Yep.
17-13 with about 4.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I think Ole Miss just got a big stop. Kentucky on a fourth down play trying to convert.
Yep.
Didn't get it. So it's 17-13. Ole Miss was a 17.5-point favorite in that game, Herb. So, man, but again, if you don't come with your A game
every week,
you're going to get beat. Or you being one of these nail biters. I think that was a third down play, actually. And Kentucky has hit a big play.
They did. And he's trying to get an end zone. Nope.
And so we'll keep you up to breast that. But 17-13, Ole Miss over Kentucky with about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
One thing about that is you can't, in the SEC, you can't take anybody lightly. I don't care who they are. Kentucky played Georgia really great a week ago or 2 weeks ago or whatever it was. But, you know, Georgia's supposed to blow everybody out every game, right? Even they know, even if you ask Nick Saban, what's the most difficult thing about college football or college sports in general, he's going to say, can you get these guys up week in and week out to be able to play at the level that they know they can play at? That's the most difficult thing that you can do in this entire deal.
Yeah, and again, it's human nature.
Yep.
To sort of look ahead and you think, well, we got this game, you know, but, you know, and sometimes you don't. And that's how you get caught in that.
Right.
It happened in Notre Dame.
Yes.
In that situation a few weeks back, we had just finished and we sort of watched the game-winning kick get, you know, Northern Iowa gets that particular deal. But then, man, Notre Dame has a shot on a long field goal. It gets blocked. And you got to bring your A game, and it'll be interesting tonight. Notre Dame plays Louisville. And Louisville, man, they beat the stew out of them last year.
Well,
and so Notre Dame's looking for a little bit of payback against Louisville.
And Notre Dame's trying to kind of, if you will, get back on track, right? You know, they're supposed to be one of the better teams in the country, but, you know, they're not playing up to their capabilities. But I will say this, too. You know, I wouldn't count Notre Dame out. They got some good athletes, really good coaching. And
especially on defense.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to count them out. I'll say that.
Talk about a comeback. Kansas State got caught last week. But, man, 42-13 with about 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So, Kansas State, and we saw that Wildcat team make a run at it. And Tulane thought they had them for a while, but it sort of got away.
Yeah.
getting back to LSU, South Alabama, LSU's playing a team. The last two games they played, they scored 87 points against Northwestern State. Bobby don't want me to say that. that's his own team. They scored 87 points. And then I think the most impressive game, you go on the road and you beat Appalachian State 48 yep.
to 14.
Man, Appalachian State is a good football team. You tan that backside every which way but loose. And now Major Applewhite, who from Baton Rouge,
yep.
Grew up basically kind of in the shadows of Tiger Stadium, had talked about all the games he had witnessed and watched
yep.
at Tiger Stadium throughout his youth. Goes to the University of Texas, and then he's been on a coaching. You know, when you're in the coaching ranks, a lot of times, I know Coach O used to always tell me that, Mike, you're like an Army brat.
That's right.
You go where they tell you to go, or go where there's a job.
You show up.
And so now Major brings his team into Tiger Stadium, 2-1 record. They lost the opener to Ohio 27-20, but their offense has really played well in the two games that they've played after that. So, Herb, for LSU, yeah, you can't be looking ahead either.
No, you can't look ahead. I don't care who it is for LSU, but especially for South Alabama. I mean, you got Gio Lopez, who ran for 105 yards last week and a touchdown, and then Botwell, who ran for 116 and two touchdowns.
Fluff.
Last year.
So,
well,
how
fluff,
about that?
That's right. That's,
fluff.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to call him Fluff. He's a little tougher than Fluff. So, but I'm that, you know, as a unit, they ran for 320 yards in that game against Appalachian State. The one thing that we have to do is play solid, sound football against this team. They're going to try to throw the ball at least 25 to 30 times a game, and they're going to rush the ball at least, you know, 40 to 50 times. They're going to get as many rushes as they can. So we have to play point of attack football. We have to be really solid at the attack, make tackles, and keep the guys in front of us.
I know, and speaking to Drew DeArmond, we'll have him on a little bit later in our broadcast for our Inside the Tiger Den segment. He had told me that there's some question marks certainly on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah.
They haven't played anybody.
Yeah.
Like he said, with LSU's talent offensively, this could be, for a half, a bit of a shootout. So LSU got to come to play defensively. They have not pieced together four quarters of really good play.
No.
Now, last week, okay, you 17-17 at the half against a UCLA team that, to be honest, I didn't think was very good. And then you were able to shut them out in the second half. But, man, you got to understand that SEC play is coming and quickly in a couple weeks.
Well,
and so you better shore up what you got defensively, and you'll have to do it without Harold Perkins.
You have to do it without Harold. I was going to say that. But here's the thing is, so now they don't have to game plan around Harold. Now they just game plan, right? To whoever the offense that you're playing against, to their strengths, and make sure that we're able to get in front of them, cause havoc, you know, create turnovers, things of that nature. Now, you know, we go back to last week with LSU UCLA. It was a different game, right? 2:30 start, 475 degrees outside. I mean, half the stands was passed out by the end of the first quarter, and so, again, this goes back to you can't take anybody lightly, regardless of who they are. You know, Deshaun Foster is a really good coach. He was coming into LSU, into Tiger Stadium, with a team that he knew, you know, was probably not going to be up to par. But what he did, he had those guys ready to play. They were ready to play in that first half, and it showed. But at the end of the day, you have to be able, if you're going to be a good team, you have to be able to grind out wins like that. You turn around and you say it was 17-17 by half or whatever it was. Well, the end of the game was 34-17. So defense showed up in the second half. Offense continued to score points. That's what you want. It's how you finish the game. It's not so much how you start. And I will say this. That was coming off of a South Carolina victory. That was one of the most best victories we're going to see ever in Tiger history. I mean, it was a 17-18-point deficit that they came back for on the road and was able to pull that game out. So you got to really give this team some kudos for the grind and the grit and the heart and the passion that they play with. It may not look pretty. It may look, you know, unorthodox or unlike what we want it to look like. But at the end of the day, the results are there. 3-1 with an opportunity today to go 4-1. And against a really good offensive team, which you're going to get some really good defensive work here, especially with Harold Perkins being out, and then going to Ole Miss in 2 weeks, I think this is a really great startup game for them.
I think, too, is now Braden Swenson has taken full advantage of a situation here. This was a big season for him. He was looking forward to him. We understand his pass rush skills. Teams were scheming a little bit to take Harold out. It gave him a lot of one-on-ones. Now, if I'm playing against Braden now, my thing is I got more than a hat on him. I got somebody chipping him. It'd be interesting to see how well he adjusts. Pete Jenkins would always tell me this, Mike. It's how they say that, sight adjustment.
Yeah,
it's play adjustment now.
That's right.
For Braden Swenson.
So look, Swenson right now has got 9 solo tackles, 7 assist tackles, and 5 sacks. I mean, when was the last time we had an LSU defensive lineman or defensive player, period, have 5 sacks in 4 games or 5 games of the season?
You got to go back to Arden Key.
That's right.
Early in his career.
That's right. And then let's go ahead and piggyback and keep on going. We're talking about Savion Jones right now.
Yep.
So Savion's got 11 tackles, 5 assist tackles, and he's got 4 sacks. So look, it's been a while since we've seen some LSU defensive linemen or defensive ends that are kind of commanding some attention. And these guys are doing it right now. We need to keep this work up. It's going to be exciting to see how they end up this year, sack total-wise.
And we will keep in kind of close tabs with 2 minutes and 25 seconds left in the game. Kentucky has taken the lead over Ole Miss 20-17.
Take it home, Kentucky.
Man, they hit a big chunk play downfield. They were able to grind it in for a touchdown. So with 2:25 left in the game, last time I saw, it's Kentucky 20, Ole Miss 17.
That's right.
Ole Miss has the football. Let's see if Jackson Dart can have that moment.
He can do it now. He's got
the talent. Come on, you were a quarterback before. Isn't this what you play for?
Kind of
moments
sorta.
Like this?
Not necessarily. You want to be up by 40.
Everybody want to be up by 40.
And the stats padded and all this other stuff. But no, the competition or the competitor in you, this is the type of game that you don't really live for, but this is the type of game that builds your character. Let's call it that. And then for me, what I really like is being in control. So I like to be up by 2 touchdowns or 10 points or whatever with 2 minutes left, and we got the ball going in, right? That's 2 different things. Now, when it comes to adversity, that's why you play the game, because every play you never know what's going to happen. So you got to always look forward to the next play. So with the type of offense that Jackson Dart is in, I would look for this. The offense I was in at the time was, you turn around and hand it off to Kevin, or you play fake and you throw a bootleg to Nicky Savoy or Dave LaFleur or something like that. That's different. But with this offense, I'm looking forward to trying to get the ball down the field, and coming up with some points to be able to win this game.
Yeah, because they do have some playmakers, and
we'll
tell you all about that as the show goes on.
Yes.
That's our first part of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettey, along with Herb Tyler, we're here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. And again, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. We'll be back with more Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating right after this break here on the Big 870.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettey, along with Herb Tyler, we're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge on Perkins Road, 3535 Perkins Road. Want to present our presenting sponsor. Want to thank them also, Map Construction. Herb, we talked a little bit about Braden Swenson and what he's meant to this football team. But over the last couple of weeks, I know on pregame show, we started talking about Aaron Anderson, but for the South Carolina game. And for the last couple games, Aaron Anderson has really come through for this football team. We both knew he was a very talented wide receiver. Yep. When they put him in the slot, his ability to run after the catch was outstanding. And so we've seen Garrett Nussmeier really target him because now there's rotation coverage on Kyron Lacy. You can see where teams are trying to take him out a little bit. Somebody else got to step up. Well, Aaron Anderson has been able to do that.
Aaron Anderson is your leading receiver right now in reception and yards. He's got 21 receptions, 298 yards receiving, and as long as 46, and he's got one touchdown. One of the guys that's been consistent over the past two, three games
has
been Aaron Anderson, and he's getting better and better every game. And there's one person in this world that's smiling right now, and that's Nick Saban. He's like, man, I knew this guy was a hell of a player, and it's starting to come to fruition. And, look, at the end of the day, I'm an Edna Carr graduate, not high school, but middle school, if you will, junior high. So I'm an alum of Edna Carr, and I'm proud to see this young man play the way that he's playing. And I've been rooting for him ever since the documentary that they have. And I'm like, man, this guy, I just can't wait to see him excel. And he's doing it right now. And he's with one of the best coaches in the country right now, in Coach Hankton, who's also from New Orleans as well. Also, he takes a lot of pride in coaching these guys up. So it's a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, and now hopefully, I don't know how much we'll see of him today, but Chris Hilton coming back from the injury. Chris was a guy they were counting on, and I know at the Manning Passing Academy, got to spend some time with Garrett Nussmeier, and he brought up to me that was a guy that he thought made great improvement in the spring and the summer was Chris Hilton, and being a more consistent receiver. And I said he could get open, but sometimes he didn't catch the ball. He said, well, that's what he's worked on, catching the ball cleaner out front with his arms and hands. And, man, he's been a guy that I think they really, really have missed the first couple weeks of the season.
Yes, I think he's a game changer. I think he's a guy who was ready to take the next step to the next level in his collegiate football career as a receiver. And, sometimes the timing is not there. And sometimes the timing is correct, right? Maybe him being out right now allows for other guys like your Aaron Andersons, like your Daniels, guys like that to flourish into who they're going to be. And then when Chris comes back, maybe he comes back right at the right time, and we may get on a hot run going into the tail end of the season, going into the playoffs or something like that, to where it's really needed at that point. So it's exciting to know that Chris will be coming back, and then how do we utilize him and insert him into the game plan with the remaining, with the other receivers and things.
This was a couple years back. He was one of the receivers that came to Manning. And I remember Anthony Richardson tell me, man, I don't know who he plays for, but he's the only guy I can't overthrow.
That's right.
Because one thing with Anthony, he kind of hit and miss as far as an accuracy standpoint, but, man, could he chunk it downfield, and one of the guys he couldn't actually overthrow.
He might overthrow a 5-yard out route, but he ain't going to overthrow an 80-yard bomb,
man,
right?
Chris run under it really, really well.
Yes.
We'll be back. In fact, he's actually here. He heard all about the food, drink specials here at Acme Oyster House.
He had to make a trip.
He had to make the trip inside our Tiger Den segment. Jeff Palermo will join us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. I'd like to tell you, along with Herb Tyler, we're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Jason and the crew will take real good care of you here at Acme. And, man, we just saw it, Herb, at the end of the game. You talk about a big upset.
That's
in
right.
Oxford, Kentucky. beats Ole Miss 20-17. Ole Miss had an opportunity late in the game to kick a field goal to put it in overtime. Missed field goal.
I love it. Man. Go Cats, baby.
Almost,
go Cats.
Man, it's almost like Herb got money on the game.
That's right.
I'm not going to say if he did or he didn't, but if he did, man, he hit this one a big time.
17, I like it.
17.5-point favorite Ole Miss.
That's it.
In that backyard in Kentucky, who had, man, they got thrashed by South Carolina. They play a really tough game, a good game against Georgia.
Yep.
They got caught late. Again, talent caught you late in the game. Ole Miss never could kind of flip the switch and had an opportunity to kind of seal the deal. The defense gives up a big play. But what a big win for the Kentucky Wildcat program as they pull the upset in Oxford 20-17.
That's right.
Over
Go Cats, baby.
Ole Miss.
I do not like Ole Miss as much as I like the uniform,
you can
but
tell,
I'm not an Ole Miss fan.
You can tell, Herb, that he's
buddy.
A little sensitive about that Ole Miss.
And look, I like Lane Kiffin, too. I like him as a coach. I get it. But Ole Miss, no, man. I'm
Now it's time for our Inside the Tiger Den segment is brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go, we have with us in-house, so
in-house.
To speak. Came in. Man, he heard about all them food and drink specials.
He smelled the food.
Yeah, he sniffed that out. Jeff Palermo. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us, bud. Appreciate you stopping on by. First of all, before we talk about LSU, South Alabama, your reaction to Ole Miss, Kentucky.
I'm stunned. I am absolutely stunned. And I was thinking Ole Miss would be undefeated coming into Tiger Stadium 2 weeks from now. But this is what when you look at their schedule coming into this game, playing Furman, Georgia Southern, and I know they had a game against Wake Forest, but that's the risk you take when you start playing all these powder puffs early on, and then when you finally get tested. How do you overcome that? Like, for instance, LSU, they got tested against USC.
Yep, twice.
Two weeks later, against South Carolina. Okay, they've already been in this pressure-packed situation. They were able to prevail. And this is my argument on why playing a tough team in the season opener benefits your team, because it makes you better the next time you're in that situation. This is Ole Miss has been just – they've been calling their score. They've been playing, junior high teams here so far this season. And now they finally get tested. And for Kentucky, I think this has got to be the biggest win of the Mark Stoops era, right? I don't recall them ever beating a top 10 team before.
I don't. But it looks good on paper right now, baby. I like it.
Man, if I'm Mark, I'm going to say, I know y'all paid me a little bit more money last year. I was going to A&M. Hey, let's take another look at that contract.
That's right.
But how about the improvement for Kentucky to play as bad as they did against South Carolina?
Exactly. 100%.
Nearly beating Georgia and then going on the road and beating Ole Miss.
And this
could be impressive.
A stepping stone for the season to come for Kentucky, right?
Yeah, it could be. And now for Ole Miss – with the 12-team playoff, at least you still got a shot, right? I mean, Ole Miss can still run the table, but this is a punch to the gut for Ole Miss fans.
Yes.
Jeff, I think all of us, we've been doing this long enough, understand that with certain teams, they progress throughout the year.
Right.
You see that improvement with them. And I think just the society we live in, it's an overreaction if you don't play well in a game. And then, this team is so bad, so bad. And then all of a sudden it starts to make that turn, and they ain't going to have a lot of teams in college football at the end of the year that got that zero at the end.
No.
Not this year for sure.
No. I mean, especially with whoever wins this Alabama-Georgia game tonight, the winner is probably going to suffer a loss somewhere down the road.
They will.
Somewhere down the road, they'll suffer a lot. The only team that might have zero at the end is Texas until they get to the SEC championship.
I was going to say that. They may have one there.
Until they get there.
Well, you just never know, and that's why I like what LSU's done so far. Like you said, it's the competition that they've played, and, they could have very well beat USC in the first game of the season. They turn around and they play USC again, basically South Carolina.
Yeah, right.
In a hostile environment, they come out on top of that game. Every other game that they played was a difficult game that we thought they should have blown somebody out, but they didn't. So you have to, you know, eke wins out, and you have to be consistent in churning every play after play after play, even when you make a bad play, turn around and make a good play to be able to win against a UCLA 34-17.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
Well, to me, that's impressive.
What did Ole Miss learn when they beat Furman 70 whatever it was to nothing?
They learned Furman was not up to par, right?
You learned that Furman wasn't real good.
That's exactly it.
When you beat Georgia Southern 52-14, what are you learning? Nothing.
Nothing.
And that's the thing, at least for Brian Kelly, after that first game, okay, I know exactly what's going on here.
That's right.
And they were able to start addressing it. And I think that's why you're starting to see so many more freshmen playing on this team, because they realize, okay, the guys that we decided to go this season with, let's bring in some freshmen here, because the guys that we have are – it's not going to cut it.
They're not cutting the mustard, as you say. And I don't like mustard. I can tell you that right now. I'm not a mustard guy. Now I'm a honey mustard guy, but not like a mustard on the sandwich guy. I'm a chicken wing with some honey mustard. I'm good with that.
You and I are going to have a long talk about this food segment part of the show that we do each and every week. One of the things we saw, and this team has played like in halves defensively.
Right.
Against USC, a really good first half, fourth quarter, a fall apart. Last week against UCLA, man, they were El Lazio in the first half.
They were.
And the second half, they played well. I want to see four quarters of consistent play defensively. I know one thing. That offense is going to score points.
Yep.
With Garrett in there and their ability to throw the football, they're going to put up points, but can you piece together four quarters of consistent football? I'm not talking about stopping them every time. That's just not the way football is built today. But show some consistency in your overall play.
Yeah, and I don't know how they get there, Mike. I really don't. I wonder if it's just part of the DNA of this team.
Man, I think you're right.
I just think it's an improved group over last year, because there are the tackles behind the line of scrimmage. You're starting UCLA. I don't know if they had any turnovers. Maybe one, right?
They did. The interception.
Yeah, the intercept. That's right. The interception by Gilbert. But they seem a little bit more opportunistic. Than this group. And now let's see without Harold Perkins how that changes. I have questions on whether it's going to really be that much of a dramatic effect. I think it's going to be certainly an effect, but I don't know how big of a loss. But I just think, especially when you look at all the freshmen that they're getting out there now with Ahmad Bro and Deshaun Spears, and then who knows if Zy Alexander can play tonight. So that might mean, you're putting in some newer players out there. I just kind of wonder if this team is going to have signs where they can go out there and they can force a three and out, or they're going to give up a 75-yard drive or a 60-yard run. I think that's just kind of what this defense is.
I think that's what's going to happen. It's how many times do you give up the 70-yarder? How many three and outs do you force? It's going to be key. And I think when you look at it as a whole, we as fans and analysts, if you will, we want everything to be perfect. You want to go out there and score a touchdown every drive, and do a three and out, and then that's it. You have 300 first downs in the game and all this other stuff, whatever. But it just doesn't happen like that.
Right.
So what's the next best thing? The next best thing is, how do you may not be able to put four quarters together, but you at least need to be able to put together a solid game, because you're going to give stuff up. Even Michael Jordan gave up 3 points every now and then, or he was dunked on or whatever. But it didn't matter what happened during the game. The only thing that matters is what was the final outcome.
Right.
And what I do like about this team is that they have found a way to grind things out, and they found a way to stay in the game and keep themselves there. Now, there's been times where we're like, oh, what was that?
Yeah.
And it just didn't seem like football, but we ultimately know that. I think you're right. The DNA of this team is on defense is going to be, we're going to give up some points. We're going to we're going to stop them a few times. But ultimately, I think they're going to come out on top, especially against you know, your normal run-of-the-mill right. teams, right?
Especially in a game like tonight, I don't see how – I mean, I got LSU scoring 41 points, and I don't see how South Alabama can prevent LSU from not scoring five touchdowns.
Yeah. I think that's the – because we know they're going to put up points.
Yeah, right.
We know South Alabama will. With you, going back to Perkins, it's almost like the law firm of weeks and weeks because if they go to the three linebacker set, yeah. it'll be the Weeks brothers that'll be in there along with Greg Penn.
Yeah, yeah. I think you'll see a lot of that because you got a running quarterback. So I think you need to have the three linebackers out on the field. And I'm interested to see what it is. I understand what Brian Kelly is saying, that when he's out there, opposing offenses have to account for him. I thought in the South Carolina game, Kirk Herbstreit did a bunch of highlights showing how the protection would swing to his side when he was rushing and it would open up for somebody else. I get all that. But I also see a linebacker that struggles getting off blocks.
Yep.
In that South Carolina game, he misses a tackle on the first play from scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not – I don't know. I don't want to say – I mean, overrated is a hard word. I don't want to say he's overrated, but I don't know if the hype is truly what it should be for Harold Perkins.
Well, I think, you know, when you go back and you look at his career, if you will, at LSU – this breakout year was his true freshman year, and no one knew who he was or what he could do.
Right.
The one thing LSU did great was just allow him to go be.
Yeah, right.
Ever since then, we've been trying to put him in a box.
Yep, right.
And we're trying to figure him out. We're trying to Rubik's cube him, right? Yeah. To me, that's not the way to – that's not what you do. Now, when you was talking about Brian Kelly, we were talking about, well, when we – you know, when he's in the game, we have to – the opposing offenses have to call plays or have a game plan that's going to direct, you know, that I guess that he can dictate to them. I don't think that's the case. I think we're taking him out of the mm-hmm. game plan so they don't have to do anything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They just run their plays.
Yeah.
All we're going to do is put him on the outside and he's going to cover someone, which in my mind, he can be – because I think 1 week he graded as the best cover linebacker in the country.
Yeah.
But they never threw the ball his way. So what the hell does it matter?
No, you know how many plays are you grading?
what did you affect in the game, really, truly?
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, don't you think maybe this is an overreaction of because of how the season ended that year as a freshman? A&M was, what? We're going to run the ball right at him.
Right.
And A-Chan, who was what, maybe 80% in that game or 75%.
He had 600 yards rushing in
there. They're still trying to tackle it.
That's right.
I think from that moment on, there's been an overreaction to what he couldn't do.
Yeah, right.
To play the run.
Yeah.
And my thing is, I know what he can do well. He can rush the
quarterback.
He can be disruptive.
Yes.
Is he going to be good against the run? No. And, man, if I'm worried about the NFL, my thing is I want to win games in college.
Yes. Yeah.
Let the NFL worry about developing Harold's overall skills from one thing to the other. But I think that game, you've seen every coach sort of overreact to what he couldn't do.
Right, yeah. Do you think he's really a first round? But if before the injury, Mike.
No.
Yeah. Second round pick, third round pick.
No, I had a discussion. Mel Kiper and we had talked about this, and I was like, Mel, you might fall in love with his athletic skills, but are you going to fall in love with his production?
So that's the key. He may or may not be a first rounder or a third rounder or whatever rounder. There's going to be one scout, one GM. Yeah. That's going
there
to
might
love
be one
he,
team
that
yeah.
loves
Maybe
what he
one
looks
team.
Like.
Right.
And you know, who knows? Who he may come back and he may just again light it up 1 year, and that's it. But he has the potential thereof. The question is, where do you put him?
Yeah. Right.
Is he a safety? You know, is he some kind of nickel rusher defender?
And now in the NFL with all these hybrid schemes of how to use him. I know I think he's developed into being a good cover guy.
I think so. I think that's where one area where we'll certainly miss him.
Yeah, I think so.
Let me ask you this: so when we talk about he's developed into a good cover guy, have we seen him knock passes down, catch intercepts?
There's no passes defense this year.
That's
The one interception against Missouri was a game changer.
Game changer.
Game changing interception.
But he's almost glued to the guy. No, it's almost like he's got Velcro to whoever he's trying to cover.
And so I'm saying that to say you know, there's going to be a GM that's going to watch that and say, you know what, this is our guy.
Yeah.
We're going to take him in the first round. You never know who it is. Yeah.
Okay, he's not for everybody. He's going to be a fit player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A fit for one particular team. And that's why you can't say he was a surefire first-round pick before the injury. You speculating on that. The production doesn't add to that particular deal. Is he a fit first-round pick for some teams?
Potentially.
Yes.
Yes.
That particular part, right. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your insights, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Enjoy it.
Appreciate you, Jeff.
That was our Inside the Tiger Den segment brought to you each and every week by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. Want to thank Jeff Palermo for stopping by here at Acme Oyster before he heads on out to LSU, South Alabama, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. We'll be back right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We finished up here on our number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettea along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. We'll be back right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettea along with the legendary Herb Tyler.
That's one more
dollar. So that's $2 for me. I get on there. We at 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. They got some great food and drink specials here at Acme. Got a great crowd right before LSU plays South Alabama. Herb and I will be on till 4:45, and then we throw it to the LSU Radio Network. And then at 6:45 kickoff time, you can hear Jacob Hester and Chris Blair give you everything going on the field between the LSU Tigers and South Alabama. Kind of recapping things already. Notre Dame 21-7 over Louisville. So, man, they remember what happened last year.
That's right.
And so, man, the Irish have jumped all over Louisville 21-7 in a stunner in Oxville, Kentucky. 20-17 over Ole Miss. Ole Miss missed a field goal late that could have tied it and brought it into overtime. Missed the field goal, first loss of the season for Ole Miss. And so thoughts that maybe these two teams before the season maybe could be undefeated when they played. LSU's went right out the window in week one. Ole Miss, it happened. And you got to give Kentucky credit. They outplayed them in this football game. And, man, it was a huge, huge win for the Wildcat program. Also, two congratulations to John Sumrall and Tulane Greenway, 45-10 over South Florida. And we talked about this in the first hour. They were, man, toe-to-toe with LSU. With Alabama at the end of three quarters. And then Alabama scored 28 points. Fourth quarter to pull away. South Alabama, I think they have more seniors on that team than any other team in Division One college football.
Wow.
And so give it to them. In the first half, it was a dominating performance by the Tulane offense. Basically every time they had the football, they scored. And their defense really held up well. Herb, we talked a little bit about this in this game, but didn't talk about the fact that Major Applewhite, who grew up in Baton Rouge, has an opportunity now to coach in Tiger Stadium with his South Alabama team that has been explosive on the offensive side of the football.
Yep.
I don't know that they have the weapons on defense to slow down LSU the way they have moved the football all season long. But, they showed they can put some points up on the board. And LSU's – it's almost been the one consistent thing on defense. Man, they've given up one big chunk play after another every game.
Whether it's a run or pass.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. But lately it's been more the pass. I think their run defense has gotten a bit better over the past few weeks.
Well, I don't know. I mean, because South Carolina ran the ball really well on them with some chunk plays.
They hit some chunk plays in there, but I think with that was almost missed tackles. You had a guy in position.
Yeah,
you got to make the play.
A couple times.
Come on. You got to make that play.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, look, with Major Applewhite coming back to, you know, Baton Rouge, being a hometown guy, it's always exciting for people who go away and they come back, especially when they
never. And it almost happened when you almost went to Mississippi State. It would have been special.
That's right.
If you were the quarterback at Mississippi State, no matter you weren't from Baton Rouge, you would O'Perry Walker.
Yeah,
But still, it didn't make any difference. Man, you grew up, you watching LSU.
Always.
People say, oh, y'all make too big of a thing of it. No. And if you're from Louisiana,
you want to go to LSU.
Come on.
That's the flagship school, and that's where you want to go. And he had the talent to go there, too, is the thing about it. They didn't offer him or give him the opportunity to go there. But he did go to another premier school in Texas. He played very well there. After his football playing days, you know, he ended up becoming a coach pretty much any and everywhere where he could go. But one of the places and stops that he went that I thought he was very impressive at was the University of Houston. He did a very good job there when he was the OC there, and he took over as a head coach, and he did okay. And everywhere he goes, I'm going to say this, they're going to be disciplined. They're going to play fast, passionate football. They're going to throw the ball all over the park. They're going to run the ball all over the park. They're going to be very versatile. And I think his values and his players or types of players he looked for are really athletic players that can move. No one that can stay still. Now, they're not going to come in and wow you with their size or anything like that, but they're going to be athletic and they're going to be really passionate about what they're doing, and they're going to fly around the ball field. But coming back to LSU and Tiger Stadium for him is a dream come true, especially as a head coach of any football team. And I think right now he's got a little football team that I think that can really take LSU to kind of do what USF did to Alabama, was bring them through the third quarter and then hope that LSU can you know, pull it off in the fourth. Now, this goes back to what I was saying when Jeff was on as well. We want to see LSU put four quarters together. Well, if they put the first quarter and the fourth quarter together and they end up winning by 30 points, does it matter if they put all four together and win by 30 points? Does it really matter at the end of the day?
Right.
So for me, it's just the consistency. I think right now they're averaging 32 points a game. If they can consistently average 32 points a game, I think we'll be fine.
One of the things, too, over the last couple of weeks, and we talked about Aaron Anderson's emergence in this offense, but also, too, Caden Durham. And what he has meant to this team over the last couple of weeks. And, okay, I get it, the pass protection part, because he really has never been asked to do that.
No.
Okay, when you're in high school, you're not asked to be a pass protector. You're asked to run the football or catch it coming out of the backfield.
Yep.
But now it's a different world. You trust Josh that he can do that.
Yep.
Josh is really good in the pass protection part. I think Caleb has improved. Is he as good as Josh? No, but he's improved in that area because Caleb, he was like Durham.
Yeah,
they didn't ask me to do that.
No.
And so you got to learn how to block and to pick up the blitz at a certain time. But he brings that element of speed and ability to make people miss in space. And, okay, he caught that little flare pass.
That was nice.
You saw the Bruins. They had two guys that had an angle. Well, he outran the angle to get into the end zone.
So that's exciting, too, because we hadn't seen that in a while as well from a running back. Just some quickness and some quick twitch muscles, if you will, with his hips, and then sure speed. And what's also exciting, we all know, the first couple of games of the season, where's the run game? Where's the run game? Well, guess what? Durham is the run game now. Now, that being said, you know, Williams is actually the leading rusher on this team with 134 yards rushing, two touchdowns, and 36 carries. And so, but when you do the 1-2 punch with those two guys, I think it'll be great. And then you sprinkle in a little Caleb Jackson, I think will be even better. But, with the emergence of Durham, only thing he can do is get better from here on out. I think his power, his stamina, and the way that he sees the field, his ability to be able to bounce the ball at outside and then get the edge and actually outrun people is pretty cool. And the one thing he hadn't done yet is fumble football. And if you don't fumble the football, hold on to it.
You go get a chance to play, because I had that conversation with John Emery before he got hurt. We at a couple different places in the summer. And just make sure you hold on to the ball, John. Because he assured me, Mike, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready. But when the season starts, I was like, just don't fumble it. You'll be watching. You won't be playing. And he gave me the grin, and he knew what I knew. Because, man, Coach Owen all was on him when he was there about it. And I'm sure Brian Kelly was the exact same way about John had talent.
Yes.
Tremendous talent. He's been so unlucky with injuries and then everything else that happened. But I think with Caden, what you bring up is a good point that, you know, you could see he pays a lot of attention to ball security.
That's right.
Especially in heavy traffic.
Yep. You know, we'll go back to John real quickly. You know, we were talking about we don't have a run game. We hadn't had a run game the first two games of the season. But actually, John was actually the run game. He was playing phenomenal in that first game against USC before, you know, tearing his ACL or whatnot. And I think had he not been injured, I think the run game would look a little bit different. You'll have two older guys in Williams and Emery who know the game, who understands everything, and that allows, you know, Jackson and Durham to kind of watch behind those guys but still get their carries and their play. But now with Emery out, it forces one of those guys to have to step up. And then, you know, and Durham is the guy stepping up. Ball security, the way that he sees the field, his vision, his footwork, and his ability to be quick at the same time as fast and also powerful allows for him to be a really great running back, in my opinion, in the future. He's really good now, but he's still got a ways to go to be great. And I think he's only going to get better game in and game out this year.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about we see – you know, when you lose a Malik Nabers and you lose a guy like Brian Thomas Jr., it's difficult to replicate the production those guys could do. So you got to spread it around a little bit.
Yeah.
And Kyren certainly has stepped up to be the number one receiver. Aaron Anderson has done a very good job as the number two guy. Hopefully we'll get a glimpse this week of Chris Hilton as they try to bring him back. One guy's really emerged, Mason Taylor. At tight end.
Yes.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelle along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. Come on by and visit us. Jason will take real good care of you. And they got a great crew here that works it here at Acme. Had tremendous food and drink specials. 16 TVs surrounded you as you eat so you can watch all the games. And so if you're going to the game or if you don't have a ticket and you want to watch the game, LSU, South Alabama, you can right here. And we'll have that game starting at 6:45 tonight, where it'll be Chris Blair and Jacob Hester will be giving you the call. LSU, South Alabama, right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. We also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Built, Build Beyond.
Yep.
We brought this up before, Herb, in the emergence of Mason Taylor at tight end.
Yeah.
And I remember when they were recruiting him and Coach O telling me, Mike, I got one. From Florida. He got some good genetics. He's Jason Boyd. I was like, okay. I said, can he play? Oh, yeah. He's going to be really good. He said, but, man, he's a tall drink of raw water right now. He needs to add a little bit of weight, a little bit of muscle. But, man, can he catch the football? Boy, Coach O was right about him. He didn't get a chance to coach him. But Mason Taylor this year, you can see his progress as a route runner, finding a way to get open.
Yep.
And he's the security blanket for Garrett Nussmeier. You being a former quarterback,
yes,
talk a little bit about having that guy you know and trust where he's going to be out on the field.
Well, some numbers for you. Mason Taylor, 25 receptions, 237 yards, 9.5 average per reception, 33 inches long, and one touchdown. So if you think of those numbers, you're like, man, those numbers are really great until you get to touchdowns. He's only got one touchdown. Well, in that, he's got first down after first down after first down after first down, which is keeping the offense on the field, and that's important. So when we talk about tight ends, and Coach O was right, it's one tall drink of water, and when you add the length of his arms stretched up or outstretched above him, that makes him even taller. So one of the things that I really love as a quarterback, and I know Garrett is really loving this, is the fact that every last one of his tight ends are 6'6", 6'7". And then, you know, they raise their arms up, that's another 3 feet. So they're basically 9 foot, and if they drunk three more feet, they're 12 feet. So he can put the ball anywhere he wants to in the 12-foot vicinity of them, and I think they can go get it, especially Mason Taylor. One of the things I really have liked about him is his toughness that he's grown to have over the course of the last 3 years.
I agree.
He's gotten more tough every game and game out, and it's just evident to me when he catches the football and gets hit and he gets right back up. And I appreciate that from a tight end, because when you think of tight ends, you think of blockers, you think of guys who catch the ball in traffic, get hit, get up, really tough-nosed players. But now tight ends are not that. They're flanked out. They're asked to do what wide receivers do. And he's playing just as good a tight end ball as anybody in the country is right now. And one of the things that Brian Kelly has always hung his hat on since he's been coaching is good tight ends. And I appreciate the fact that they're starting to develop Mason Taylor here.
Also, the two other young tight ends, I think everybody wants to see it. If they become a bigger part of this offense as the season goes along with Kay Pimpton, along with Tre'Davious Green. Both those guys are even taller than Mason Taylor.
Yep.
Mason's 6'5" and some change, but Tre'Davious, what, 6'7.5"?
Yeah.
And Kay, he's almost 6'7". So, man, you got guys. And I think it's so important, short yardage, red zone area, to have that sort of length that the ball doesn't have to be perfect.
No.
And they'll come up with it. And all I know is there ain't no 6'6", 6'7" defensive backs or linebackers trying to cover them.
Not at all.
That's a huge mismatch downfield.
That's huge. The problem with trying to incorporate those guys into the game plan is you still got, Aaron Anderson, Kyron Lacy, you got Daniels, you've got Xavier Thomas, you've got Kyle Parker. I mean, you got cats that can play all over the field. And, it's going to be tough, but you have to purposefully put those guys in positions when it's time. I think where you use them at is where we've struggled, which is in the red zone.
I agree.
And so if we're not going to utilize Nussmeier as a threat to run the football, then we need to utilize those tight ends as a threat to catch the ball to at least get first downs or even touchdowns when they're 5 yards or less. So, it's funny that we can see that. I'm hoping that the coaches can get some kind of development or game plan that's going to see that.
Is it a trust factor, though, with the young guys?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I'd rather try to see if they can do it versus not do anything.
Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day.
That's why I'm asking, because sometimes people say, does Joe Sloan trust the young tight ends? Well, I know what Mason Taylor can do, okay? I think I know what Tre'Davious and Pimpton can do out on the field, but I'm not really sure.
It's what I guess, so let's talk about what we're asking them to do. We're not asking them to play quarterback. We're asking them to flank her out and, run 6 yards and kind of fade to the outside, jump up and catch the football. That's it. We're not asking
because they glorified big wide receivers.
That's right. We're not asking them to do anything that's intricate about whatever. We're asking them to get a 3 yards in first down or 4 yards in a touchdown. You know what I mean? Like, we're not doing anything outside the box or anything that they haven't done before. So, and I think those guys are ready, especially Pimpton. I know he's ready at the end of the day. I know he's ready.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm just excited to see if they can incorporate him to the game. Now, we're talking about some young guys that has the ability to become what Mason Taylor has become and is becoming. And the way that we got Mason Taylor there is by feeding him the football. And the only way we're going to get those other guys for us to gain trust in them, if the coaches don't have trust, is by getting them involved in the game plan and trying to get the ball to them and see what they can do. Now, I don't know what's happening at practice, but I can only assume that they're doing well at practice because they're still – You know, they get on the field, they just don't get any balls thrown to them.
And I think that's part of it, too. I think for some coaches, if they see some – but we all been around guys that maybe aren't the greatest practice players.
Yeah, how does practice translate to the football
game? But you put them in a game, they light up. And we've seen vice versa, or vice versa.
Yeah.
In essence, a guy that doesn't practice, he can't do squat in a game.
That's right.
and I can't explain why for either case.
Well, here's the thing. There's a reason why they've been offered a scholarship to play football at LSU.
Yeah.
And it's because they was able to show it in the lights. Now, how does high school lights translate to or transition to college lights? I don't know.
It's different.
But I can tell you sometimes some people have and some people don't when it comes just to just being able to perform under the lights. But I think these guys can do it. I don't see where these particular guys can't do it. Now, you know, I've seen guys that look the part. Man, they walk off the bus and boy, it's like it's about to go down, and it just don't. It's just, you know what I'm saying? They might as well get back on the bus. But I've also seen guys who don't look like anything, and they go out there and tear it up.
Yeah, and it's difficult to explain to people because I know Bob always says, Mike, you know, as when I was in the pros, if I could do it in practice, I had confidence I could do it in the game. But he said, Mike, I know what you mean. They got guys that could do it in practice. You put them in a game, it's almost like they're in the headlights. Like they freeze.
It's weird because it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
There's nothing different. The only thing different is the level that you're playing on. And there's a reason why you're on that level in the first place. Because you can do it. You know, it's different. I don't know. I've never, I guess, approached a game, a football game anyway, where I felt like I couldn't perform. Like, there's no league, no level, no anything that I feel like I could not have performed in as a quarterback, as a top, on the top level, top tier level as well. Because it's the same. It's just, and I think what I did was I took the time to learn the game when it was time to learn the game, right? When I'm talking classrooms, practice, you know, outside of being in the facility and just watching games and listening and taking in information and trying to understand things, put myself in a position when I'm watching just a Monday night football game or you know, a Sunday football game or whatever game and just paying attention to what's going on and visually putting myself in it. But it's just football. It's out routes, it's comebacks, it's digs, it's posts, it's all that. The biggest difference is the speed of the game and when in the power of the guys that you're playing against, the strength. That's it.
When we come back, we'll have our Tiger Scout Notebook brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System. We'll have on with us from ESPN in Alabama, Drew DeArmond, to break down the South Alabama football team and also Major Applewhite returning to Baton Rouge.
That's right. We'll be
back with that a lot more here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike DeTellier along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got some great food and drink specials. Jason and the crew take real good care of you here. And again, they got 16 surround sound TVs all around you. As you eat, you can dine and watch the games. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Built, Build Beyond. On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line for our Thibodaux Regional Health System Tiger Scout Notebook from ESPN in Alabama. We have on with us Drew DeArmond, who covers University of Alabama, Auburn, and South Alabama. Drew, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
It's great to be with you, Mike and Herb. It's going to be a big opportunity for Major Applewhite, Rob Ezell, and Will Windham, that coaching staff, in their first year in South Alabama, man. I mean, they're taking over for Kane Womack, who's now calling the defensive signals for the University of Alabama. But they've got a potent offense led by a kid that I watched grow up in my 10 miles down the road from me, and Dio Lopez from James Clemens High School. He's a left-handed version of Jeremiah Masoli, and he's a dangerous hombre.
Nice.
A little bit more about, you know, because Strutter turns to drink with them with two young guys in Geo and also in Fluff at running back. Those two guys are sort of they've been the Strutter turn to drink for them on the offensive side of the football. Anytime you roll up, what it was, 87 points against Northwestern and 48 points against Appalachian State in their backyard, man, you're doing a lot of good things right for some young players.
No doubt. And Fluff, he doesn't run like somebody named Fluff. I can tell you that.
No.
Mike. he's another North Alabama kid from Aniana. He's a Redskin. He had a great career there. He's a load. He's 220 pounds on about a 5'11 frame. And he's already scored 6 touchdowns. He's averaging 9.7 a pop. You know, nearly 400 yards rushing already. And so He's very dangerous. And when you think about, you know, Gio Lopez, who's the third leading rusher on the team, that's with missing a start against, you know, Ohio U. Why they lost that second game 2-2 right now. But I got to tell you, they've got some weapons on this team. But that dual-headed rushing attack at QB and with Bothwell, and don't forget, they've got two other backs. Kentrell Bullock is also averaging about 7 yards a pop, three touchdowns for him. He's another kid that, from the state of Mississippi, that's a little dangerous. And I was told this morning by a great source that Braylon McReynolds was actually the guy that was supposed to be the load guy. He was supposed to be their RB1. He's been out with an injury, but he's probably going to be cleared to play tonight. He's a Mobile kid, so Braylon McReynolds will get some touches. And so when you got Fluff and you got Bullock and then Gio, they've got quite a ground attack with a lot of options there for the Jags.
True. Secondary wise, how does it look? Because the one thing that has stayed the same, despite, you know, what Jaden Daniels has did for 2 years, especially last year, and his ability to throw the football, and man, he was unique as a runner. There ain't too many people that could run like him.
No.
But their ability to throw the football, and Garrett has stepped in, and it looks different. But man, LSU got some playmakers that in the passing game and the pitch and catch part. How do you think they'll match up against LSU? Because, man, LSU got a variety of guys from the tight end, the wide receivers, running backs coming out the backfield. How well they've matched up in the past, over the past couple games, and how do you think that'll translate up against playing LSU?
Well, I think the guy to watch in the secondary, Mike, and you'll probably have him in your draft guide, is Jaden Boyson. Yep. He was a preseason first-team All-Sun Belt guy. He and his brother, also one of their top 2 to 3 wide receivers. He's a really good player. But Jaden is a guy from Crestview, Florida, that has really played well for the Jags. He's one to watch tonight as kind of a ball hawk. But the one that the transfer from Hutch JUCO in Kansas has been really dangerous. He set a school record with a 96-yard pick six against Appalachian is Jordan Scruggs, number 8. He'll play the Husky spot. And what they do defensively under Will Windham, they kept the exact same 4-2-5 system that you'll see Kane Womack using against Georgia tonight and what he used in his last few years at South Alabama. The system did not change at all. But Scruggs and Jaden Boyson and probably the freshman Amarian Fortenberry back there at the field corner spot are the guys to watch. From the linebacker core, Blaine Myrick, he's a redshirt sophomore. He's from Fairhope. He's another local guy for South. He's their leading tackler, a real active guy that's done a nice job. And then another guy to watch up front, if they're going to stay with LSU, they're going to have to slow down this LSU running attack. It's really been improving. You got to watch Mathias Thomas. He's a 3-year starter at nose tackle, probably a 4 to 5, 6, 7 ground guy, a third day guy, but he's talented enough as a 3-year starter to play well against LSU.
Drew, man, I know it's exciting for South Alabama to come into LSU, but the caveat and the cherry on top is Major Applewhite coming back as a head coach. Can you talk a little bit of what that looks like all week and what Major's saying and, you know, what's that going to be like for Major when he comes into LSU?
Major's lying, he says, just like a regular game. He's lying.
Yeah, I know he's lying. I know he's lying.
It's so funny. You guys know the story. He grew up with Alabama fans, and he was named after Major Ogilvie, even though he grew up in Baton Rouge. But he speaks very fondly of sneaking over to Tiger Stadium and throwing 7-on-7 and throwing around with a lot of the LSU Tigers that he grew up around in the early 90s in that time frame for LSU. And he really enjoyed Tiger Stadium. He snuck in a lot as a kid and got in and watched a lot of games over there. And you guys know, I mean, he had a very high-profile quarterback battle with Chris Sims and was really the better college player. He didn't have the physical talent of Chris, but he was so smart from the neck up. He was so intelligent. It's no surprise that he went into coaching. He speaks very, very highly of LSU and the memories of growing up in Baton Rouge. And, you know, I think he's really excited to come. And like you said, he'd love to leave 3-2, you know, because it would be the biggest win of his coaching career. It didn't go his way in Houston. He couldn't get it rolling. But this opportunity kind of came out of nowhere in South Alabama. I think it's a good fit for him. They've got great facilities down there. You know the relationship South has with the Senior Bowl, and so he's going to be able to get players because they know they're going to get noticed down there. And in Mobile and in that part of the Panhandle of Florida, there's a lot of really good football players. And with NIL, with Gio Lopez and Fluff, they may end up moving up. They may not be at South Alabama next year.
That's right.
But those he's going to get is going to help him recruit and going to help him get players because he and Rob Ezell have done a great job of developing Gio, and Fluff has just been, you know, unbelievable for Maniana as a freshman running back thus far.
Explain a little bit about long-term for South Alabama. Is this a team that what Major has talked about trying to build through the high school ranks, or will the transfer portal be a big part of his football team there? Because I see it that you want to get high school kids, but I think for him, he may lean a little bit more toward the transfer portal guys.
Well, I mean, with his connections at Alabama and throughout the Southeastern Conference, you know yourself, Mike, there's a lot of guys moving down because they want to play.
You know,
because, I mean, they're getting NIL money, but they're not developing. So I think it'll be a nice mix. He's got enough great high school talent down there in Mobile to sign probably 15 good players a year. And then I think he would supplement it with, I would say, 8, 9, 10 guys from the portal. And don't forget, Jordan Strug, yeah. They were able to get him from the junior college ranks. So you also kind of find a JUCO or two because junior college players are becoming devalued too because of the portal. So if you have those kind of connections, you can find talent, no doubt. But, yeah, I think it'll be a nice mix. I think each year you could see him going from a dozen to 15 high school players and then 8, 9, 10 portal guys if he can find the right pieces there. And he's got great facilities. You know, they've done a great job building up their program there. And I think he's going to be given the tools in the Sun Belt Conference to compete. And certainly I think he got off to a little bit of a slow start this year. They lost that North Texas shootout early.
Yep.
Gio had a great game. But then, again, the injuries kind of caught up to him for week two, but they stabilized themselves. And that was a huge exclamation point in the Sun Belt Conference to go to Appalachian and not just beat them, but destroy them.
Yeah.
True. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your insights, Bud.
And, yes, sir.
The way these teams score, maybe the over's the play tonight.
Probably so. I want to give you one more name to watch, Mike. He's a redshirt freshman defensive end. Because the one issue for South has been their pass rush, but they started to improve in the Appalachian game. He's a redshirt freshman from a great program. You know the Hoover High School program very well in Alabama. That's been nationally known. His name is Jordan Norman, number 21. So watch for him from that DN spot. LSU's got great offensive tackle play, but they better handle Norman tonight. Not let him get after Garrett. Give him time to throw. But I agree with you. I would take the over in this game. No question about it. I think unlike the Kentucky Ole Miss game, I had that one pegged, just not the winner. I thought that might be a little bit lower scoring. Tonight, I think it's going to be a little bit of a track meet with my guy Gio.
Man, all I can say is they don't get a pass rush on Nussmeier, it might be a long night for that defense because the one thing with Garrett, he has been really good every game he's started this year for LSU, and just his accuracy skills, Drew, and I think you'll see it. He's a pinpoint passer. He knows where to go with the football. They haven't hit the big play deep downfield other than last week with Kyle Parker, but I think that's fixing to change pretty soon. So South Alabama doesn't get a pass rush. Man, they'll put up a lot of yardage against them. Drew, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Herb. Thank you, Mike. Y'all enjoy the game,
Thank
man.
You.
I always appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's a wrap on our Tiger Scout Notebook brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System. Totally focus on patient care. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number two on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. We're finishing up here in hour number two of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to tell you along with Herb Tyler, we're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. We'll be back with more Tiger Tailgate right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike the T along with the legendary Herb Tyler. That's three times, so that's $3.
That's right.
I get from Herb before game's over with.
That's right.
But we're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Well, man, they got great food and drink specials. Jason and the crew, they take a great job in taking care of everybody here. And so if you want to watch the game or games that are going on, get something to eat, man. It's a great place to come watch everything. And also the food's fantastic.
Yes,
here.
It is.
Also, too, we want to thank Map Construction, our presenting sponsor, Map Built, Build Beyond. Man, we couldn't do it without Map, right?
No, not at all.
We couldn't do it without them. So we appreciate everything they bring to the table. We got a quick segment before we go to break. But one of the things, you know, we talked about Nussmeier, and he kind of gets lost in the bunch here. But, man, what a great season he's had so far, and that you see teams basically playing kind of out of the coverage now. They were at one time, they thought they would get, you know, see a lot better looks, that they could get the running game going, but they've tried to play coverage. And, man, Garrett's found the open spot downfield. Done a really good job, and I think it's sort of underrated. And Herb, it's difficult to kind of step into the moccasins of a guy like Jaden Daniels and what he did. And while the moccasins look different, the results for him and his ability, yeah, his accuracy skills and his touch and his throws have been really good. And those two first-round pick wide receivers were pretty good too. So, man, I tip my cap to Garrett Nussmeier. I think he's more than held his own as the starting quarterback, and he's done a fantastic job this year.
Well, what you're seeing are the fruits of the labor of a guy who stayed,
yep,
and didn't run, you know, when he could have. Everybody else would have ran and went to a different school. So, you know, the great thing about Garrett is the fact that he understands the game of football. He understands his timing. He knows players. He knows plays. He knows coaches. He knows all of that stuff. So that, you know, we'll get to the numbers really quick. So Garrett Nussmeier right now in the country is the number 8 quarterback in the country. He's got 113 attempts or completions on 160 attempts for 70.6 completion rate. That's awesome. That's 70.6 completion percentage. And then he also has 1,247 yards passing total. He's averaging 7.8 yards a pass. He's got 13 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. That is what you call a guy who takes care of the football.
Efficient.
But he also knows the game. And that's what, you know, when everybody wants to start and play a true freshman or a redshirt freshman or whatever. I don't even know what year Garrett is. But at the end of the day, I do know he was there for 6 years. So here we are, right? But he's taking the time. He's been able to sit behind a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback and understand the game. And then he's learned this offense to almost perfection. Because when you see him, he drops back. If he gets enough time, he's going to pick you apart. He's made a couple small mistakes here and there, but none that actually cost the game. There's a couple things I'd like him to do a little bit better, but those things are minute compared to what he's doing. He's got his team at 3-1. He's 13 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. He's a leader in the locker room. He's a leader on the field. He's a guy we should be talking about more as far as just the true leader of this football team, because he's it. He's not only showing it in the performance that he does, but he's also showing it in the locker room and when you look at the team as a whole, when you see their camaraderie and who they are.
I will give you some scores out. Michigan, man, a tight win. Man, that was a really good football game. The Wolverines defeated Minnesota 27-24. Congratulations to John Summerall and Tulane. A 45-10 total domination game against South Florida in the biggest upset so far this season, almost, you could say, other than the Notre Dame going down early.
Yeah.
But in the SEC, it was the biggest upset. Kentucky, on the road in Oxford, defeats Ole Miss 20-17. Kansas State with a bounce-back win, 42-20 over Oklahoma State. BYU continues undefeated as they win 34-28 over Baylor today. Man, how much trouble is Dave Aranda in?
Well,
man,
we may be looking for a new deep coordinator here soon. So,
and surprising at halftime, Wisconsin 21-10 over USC. After we saw Alabama roll up and down the field
on Wisconsin,
Wisconsin 21-10 over Southern Cal, and that's surprising to me. Arkansas 14-14 with Texas A&M, and Charlie Long will like this if he's listening. But University of Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, at halftime 21-17 over Wake Forest. Also at halftime, nice. Notre Dame 24-14 over Louisville. We'll come back. We got a lot more here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettigy along with the legendary Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House.
You're up to $4.
That's
now,
it. 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. And even after we go off the air here with our Tiger Tailgating Show, we get the little tip jar right next to Herb. If you want to register for gift cards here at Acme and also some Acme swag, you can fill out the little form. They'll pull it, I think, right before the game starts. They pull it. So if you're in the area and stop on by at Acme and get something to either drink or get something to eat here, you can register for Acme gift cards and also Acme swag. And it's in the little tip jar right in front of Herb here.
That's
at
right.
Our table. Herb, before I ask you about the keys to victory, thoughts tonight, Alabama-Georgia?
Oh, that's going to be a fun game to watch. You know, it's one of those things where
everybody's picking Alabama.
Alabama looks good, though. That's why everybody's picking them. Cause, and Georgia has a they have an unknown in Carson and Beck. I think everybody thinks that, you know, going into the season, he was supposed to be a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback.
Yeah, he was the odds-on favorite.
But he's not. I mean, he's not doing it. So I think that's why. And I think Kalen DeBoer has his finger on the pulse of this team in Alabama right now. It looks much different than Alabama when Nick Saban was there last year.
Offensively, especially. Yeah, well, yeah, you can see that.
They have a lot of energy. They play with they seem to play more loose, more free is what it looks like to me. So, but it's going to be a great game. I think at the end of the day, you're going to have a coach in Kirby Smart who's looking to continue his dominance in college football against a guy in Coach Borah who's coming from being in not even a year, but 8 months removed from national championship team, who's now building something different somewhere else that's almost ready made for him to step in and be great now. So
Of pressure, though.
It's a lot of pressure, but I think he can handle it. You know what the first thing that told me that he can handle it was he went in there and he renovated the coach's office. The first thing he did is I'm like,
man, I don't like the way Nick's office looks. I'm going to redo it.
That's right. I'm going to redo it. So I'm good with that. But, you know, if you ask me who's going to win this game tonight, I'll be honest with you. And, I know the fans out there ain't going to want to hear this, but I'm kind of pulling for Alabama. And I like Alabama's chances at how they play offense, and I think that I like Jalen Milroe as well too.
I want that kid to succeed.
Yes,
yeah.
I really want him to succeed, and so that's why I'm pulling for Alabama. And my Georgia Tech, my daughter is a Georgia Tech Rambling Wreck, so you know what we say about Georgia. So
yeah, I get you.
That's right.
So I'll go with Georgia. So one of the two of us will be right on this.
Well, you might be able to win your $4 back.
See, yeah, maybe so. Keys to victory tonight for LSU.
Do not overlook this team. Don't pass. Take a good look at this team and use this opportunity to get better. They have to play as one unit and as a group that is really excited about what they're doing tonight. They can't just kind of loll out there and hope that they're going to win. So the ways I think that they can do that is by one, showing a really strong running game. on the offensive side. I think we continue the Caden Durham train. And then, you know, I think obviously Nuss is going to do what Nuss does. But I think if we run the ball well, we'll be fine. I think on the other side, stopping the run is going to be key because I think
that's what South Alabama wants to do.
I think South Alabama is going to want to run the ball. We got to be able to stop them. And I think sometimes that means what you were saying is, what the hell are you doing? It's a tackle. Go make the tackle. Don't allow that player to get past you. And so that's going to be one of those things. Now, you're going to be frustrated sometimes in this game because they're not going to make the tackle. And it's okay. It's do they make the next tackle? Are they going to bend but don't break? Are they going to allow points and not? You know, because remember, we go back. This game reminds me so much of the Nicholls State game where, hey, we can go in there and we can play with them all we want, and then they're going to bust open an 85-yard touchdown run on you, you know, which we can give up. But I don't know. But so that's the second key is for our defense to play, you know, to not allow their run game to get going, and so we can have a good run-stop defense. Now, I think the third key to this game is going to be, you know, whether or not we could come in this thing with enthusiasm, with passion, with energy, with desire to win. Like those things right there, you can't put enough on that to be successful, because you can have all the moving pieces and the right parts in place and all this other stuff, but if you don't have the passion, the energy, and the excitement about going out there, just having the opportunity to play, then I don't, you know, you won't be able to be successful, period. So those are my three keys to the game.
I think the wake-up call might have come a little earlier, and you getting it across. Look what happened to Ole Miss.
Yeah, that's right.
Look what happened to Ole Miss. You can't tell me Ole Miss wasn't peeking a little bit ahead to play in LSU. And, you know, come on, human nature is, man, we can beat Kentucky.
No,
we
you
can
can't,
beat Kentucky.
Not today, no.
But you're in the SEC.
That's right.
And you got caught today if you were Ole Miss. And you got to give Kentucky full credit because they played.
They had to go out there and play.
They made the plays they That's had right. to make. But there is a human nature part to this game where you can't tell me some of those LSU guys aren't saying, man, you know, 2 weeks, look who we play. And look,
they
how they beat
be.
And look how they beat us last year.
They better not be, because guess what? They can get beat tonight.
And we've seen it this year.
Because you know whatever Major is saying is not true. It's just another
He's
game.
He's lying.
You know, it is not
I hate
game.
To break it to people, because people say, oh, coaches don't lie. What? No, they don't tell you the truth.
That's right.
It's not a lie. They just don't tell you the full truth of things. It means a lot to him as a Baton Rouge guy to come back and play in Tiger Stadium. He didn't even have to grow up an LSU fan. It's about playing in Tiger Stadium.
Right. That's right.
That venue is unbelievable.
It don't matter where you grew up. It don't matter who team you coach. It doesn't matter. When you come into Baton Rouge and you play in Tiger Stadium at night, you want to come out with a victory, because it doesn't. It's just the mystique of it all. It's the pageantry of it all. It's Tiger Stadium. Why would you not? I don't care what coach you are, what team you're coaching for, you always want to beat the Tigers in Tiger Stadium at night.
Herb, we got a lot more LSU talk coming your way, because remember, kickoff time is at 6:45 right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. We want to thank Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, great sponsors of the show, along with Acme Oyster House. They do a fantastic job each and every week hosting our Tiger tailgating show with Map Construction. So we'll go to break and keep you dialed tuned into the Big 870 WWL. We got a lot of LSU pregame and then kickoff time, 6:45, right here on the Big 870 WWL. Jacob Hester, Chris Blair giving you all the action.